This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Obviously, the jury has rendered their verdict in the trial of Karen Reed, and it's over, at least for now, hopefully. Deep breath, everyone, deep breath. But there is still scuttlebutt going on out there about how this all went down. The term that's being thrown around is jury nullification. What does that mean? That means that someone on the jury basically came in with a preconceived notion, what they were going to say, what they were going to do. Evidence be damned. I am sticking with my conclusion going in, and it's not changing. That's the allegation that is being thrown out there to many jurors who are now giving interviews and such. And I'm not going to go after any specific one. I just want to discuss, you know, what does this mean? Is there any sort of legitimate grounds for it? Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. So Karen Reed, acquitted of second degree murder and manslaughter, convicted of the OUI. Give me your thoughts on this. I know obviously you don't agree with the verdict. I personally don't either, but it is what it is. But did we have a jury going into this that basically was compromised? Then we had nullification that took place here.
You know, at the end of the day, Tony, to me, the sanctity of the jury is just something I personally, in my experience working these cases for 28 years, never experienced. There was never any issue with a juror having to be thrown off. There was never an issue with jurors coming in with preconceived notions. I never had a case that, you know, had a jury nullification issue. Just something that it really is rare. Obviously, everyone knows about OJ, very famous case. But there's others where a nullification went in where people had their preconceived notions. And no matter what the evidence was, it wasn't going to be looked at, and they were moving on. Essentially, this is what I think. It's we don't know what went through all the jurors' minds. We know what went through some of their minds because they're coming out. But Tony, at the end of the day, I think it's something we all just have to accept this verdict and move on.
Yeah.
Even if it's a nullification factor, it doesn't matter. That verdict is going to stick, even if they lied on their jury forms and didn't tell the truth about their preconceived notions on the case. It's going to be hard to prove. And I think with this huge, real slap in the face to the Norfolk DA at this point for all the time and effort they put into it, you know, there's no way they're going to, I don't think, unless there's some huge revelation that comes out, go after anyone for such a charge, even though there's charges like that on the books.
They do exist, but I mean, it's extremely rare. Double jeopardy would be in place here very likely under the Fifth Amendment, the Constitution reinforced by Article 12 of the Massachusetts Declaration of Rights. Once a defendant has been formally acquitted in open court, the acquittal can typically is typically final and absolute. The state cannot appeal it for any case. But there is an extremely narrow exception, and I see a lot of people out there in the Twitterverse and everything going, what about this? I don't think it really has a whole lot of ground. The defendant themselves or someone acting on their behalf orchestrated jury tampering, such as bribery, threats, or interference. A strong argument could be made by prosecutors that the initial trial was fundamentally corrupted. Courts have wrestled with this, whether a defendant can be retried if the acquittal was directly and intentionally produced by the defendant's own fraudulent conduct or jury manipulation. Still, even in this scenario, a lot of high legal hurdles in this controversial, rare occurrence, if it did occur. I'm sure, you know, it's easy. One can go, well, look at the intimidation that went on here and there to different people. I don't know that we have any evidence that points directly to any jurors, but certainly witness intimidation and things of that nature. On the surface, could you kind of make an argument for it, or could you factually somewhat? Sure, but would it actually stand up in court? I don't think that would actually go anywhere, do you?
No, I don't. I agree with you, Tony, unless, like I said, there's some revelation that comes out, and it would have to be to the degree of money passed or something, decision that way. It would have to be so monumental.
Mm-hmm.
But this verdict is going to stand.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to face a civil
mm-hmm.
Trial coming up soon. And that's really the next chapter as I see it in this case. And, you know, my heart really from the beginning, as you and I have discussed, just really has always gone out to the O'Keefes, how they were treated. I think that's what really engaged most of us watching this case so closely and being invested in truth in this case and how witnesses were treated. Brennan came out today and just made a beautiful statement. And basically, that's what grabbed him, too. Remember, he was hired as a special prosecutor by the Norfolk District Attorney to, hey, do your own investigation. Let us know what you find.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he found and stated that there was only one person responsible for this crime in his investigation. And then he also quotes the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
So, nevertheless, she is free criminally.
Mm-hmm.
Unless something comes to the charges concerning witness intimidation, unless they end up indicting her as a conspirator. They took one bite at the apple before cell phone information. Will they take one again? I just don't know. It seems like such a hot potato. I think they would wait until the civil case is over because there's going to be so much discovery. There's no Fifth Amendment right in a civil trial. Mm-hmm. So she's going to have to testify and be deposed.
How do you think that's going to work out?
Well, she has no problem talking.
Yeah.
So I think she will be, you know, fine. I mean, if you've ever been deposed, Tony, or been a part of that process, I can tell you that you can have an attorney there and object on whatever grounds, and then they say, okay, answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing like a criminal court. And, you know, I just look back to the OJ trial that I've compared in a lot of ways to this trial. And, you know, obviously OJ was convicted in that civil matter and a huge judgment, millions and millions of dollars was given to the Brown family and the Golden families, of which they collected nothing on, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nevertheless, I think at least having that some, you know, that judgment. But I tell you, I look at the Browns and the Goldmans to this day. And I mean, there's just such a sadness in their eye because they, you know, they didn't get justice for their mm-hmm. loved ones. It's so sad.
And at the end of the day, is it, I guess the question is it worth it? Is it worth going after her civilly? I mean, yes, you may get a judgment in your favor, but there's a thousand ways to shield money. And I know it's not about money. I'm sure nobody, at least I hope nobody's sitting there going, I can't wait to get rich off of this. Because I don't know that anyone really will or would other than have a really high legal bill. I guess, is it, you know, I guess that's a personal question to all those involved. Is it worth continuing going down this road and exposing yourself to the scrutiny and all of the vitriol and everything that comes along with it? Because this is not going to go down quietly. If the civil cases go on and it happens, it's going to be another circus. Maybe not to the extent that it was the first time. I don't know that everyone's going to be covering it the way that they did the first time, but I'm sure those on the ground, those right there in Massachusetts, right in that area who are directly affected by it, you're going to be dealing with it longer. The question is, do you want to keep dealing with it longer? I mean, what are your thoughts if you were in that sort of a situation? Would you keep pushing this civilly or just be like, I'm moving on with life. There's only so much time here and I don't have more time to waste on this.
I think the O'Keefes, knowing, you know, I just think that they will
mm-hmm.
continue to pursue their already filed a lawsuit. I think this is more of a matter of her not getting rich,
mm-hmm.
her not being able to put this in the rear view totally. Yeah. Anytime you have a suit like this hanging over your head, and recall there could be many more. I mm-hmm. mean, the McCabes have been completely maligned, their mm-hmm. children maligned, the Alberts maligned. It's just been incredible. And, you know, there's not going to be one iota of evidence that they murdered anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Higgins, you know, will Higgins come forward and file? His name's been completely drugged through the mud.
Yeah.
And, you know, all he did was seventh grade flirt with her via text messages. And I guess they hooked up one time at the house. You know, nobody but those two know what really happened there.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, Tony, I think there's so many lawsuits that will be filed. I plan to not cover any of them except for how it turns out at the very end. I mean, this case is a case of literally having to live in a pigsty throughout it because of all the mudslinging and just the horrific, you know, but just everything from A to Z.
Yeah.
Like nothing I've ever seen, and like something I hope never happens again.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about Karen with you today, just kind of as like, okay, let's wrap this up and never speak of this again.
Yes, but that sounds perfect to me.
It's just, you got to kind of wrap this up and see, you know, where it's all falling at the end of the day. Let's talk about one more thing on this case. Let's talk about the trial itself. And, you know, what was your takeaway at the end of the day? Obviously, they did not convince the jury that she was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt by any means. She got the OWI or the OUI or the DUI or whatever the hell they call it in Massachusetts. That's all there is. When you look back at the prosecution and Hank, is there anything that you would have changed that you think could have been done better? Or is this just, you know, they played the best hand they possibly could and the jury, you know, it was the luck of the draw of who you got?
So a couple of things. First of all, I'll always think of this as the case of warts. Mm-hmm. If you look at the warts that came with this case, there were some police warts. Right. It
wasn't
a perfectly done investigation. You had a lead investigator who couldn't keep his mouth shut and inappropriately spoke. So those were kind of the two major warts, if you will. And then you had, in my opinion, and I am a huge Brennan fan, I think he's a class act. I would shake his hand, fervently if I ever saw him. He's just somebody I really so highly regard. But I never understood not putting on rebuttal. He did not put on the no canine DNA rebuttal. He did not put on the crash reconstructionist, which, as you remember, he said he was working hard on rebutting some of the ARCA stuff after they got it, I think, on, I want to say, the 7th. So, they had that crash. I don't understand why they did put on another medical examiner, because Gordy Bella was so indecisive, basically not deciding anything.
Yeah.
Could be anything. Could have died of anything. It's undetermined, you know, not having any favorable comments one way or the other, really. Everybody likes to say she said he wasn't hit by a car. She didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. Undetermined. That's what she had to say in the whole matter. I would have liked to have seen that. I know that they relied on the crash reconstructionist. I don't think the crash reconstructionist reconstructed much of anything. Really, when you look at the end of the day, ARCA did. I would have liked to have seen this crash reconstructionist take a few configurations of John facing backwards, John facing forward, and work backwards from where the body ended up. To try to reconstruct. I mean, that's what they do, right? You're supposed to take the body and you're supposed to hit it 100 times until you get that body to fly similar distance, right? Chaos theory is never going to be perfect.
Yeah.
And work backwards from that to try to figure out where he might have been. So it was disappointing that. So I think those were some items I'm going to end with this. Wouldn't change anything because I think that the jury, I don't have any confidence that they went in not predetermined. That's clear from what we're hearing now. And, you know, so probably wouldn't have mattered what Brennan did.
Why do you think he didn't? I mean, that's the bit, the kind of the million-dollar question. Did he not have, I know he was talking about getting more info there and more evidence and more testing done about the vehicle crash, and it was going to take some time, and then they'd come back and bring that. Never happened. Did it not take place? Did they not get the data, the testing done that they wanted? I don't quite understand. I guess if you don't have anything, don't bring something that's not strong. But what do you think was the reasoning there at the end of the day?
Well, and they also had dog bite experts put on. I mean, they had a lot in rebuttal that was on the rebuttal witness list that never got called. I thought that was a huge mistake. I've thought a lot about it. And I've come to the conclusion that, like Judge Cannone saw, she could tell, quote, she said, I think the jury was tired. Brennan's a litigator. He knows this. I know this from being in the courtroom and all my trials. There is this moment that you can just look over at the jury and feel like they've made a decision, that they're done, that they're just tired, as Cannone put it. And I'm wondering if Brennan felt that they had reached a conclusion, not knowing what that conclusion was, but not wanting to be the bad guy to keep them. Now we're going into a holiday. We're, you know, a holiday week, remember, was on the opposite side of, you know, if they stopped, I think they stopped on a Friday, which also is always never going to work out typically, because they're going to be, you're going to now put them off over the weekend where they're going to be thinking about this, tempted to look at social media, even more issues, right? And then that next week was a holiday week. So I think Brennan thought that they had reached a conclusion possibly and didn't want to be the bad guy, right? Holding them over for three or four more days. And then now you have the long weekend. Prosecutors and litigators look at that, how the weekends and how everything lines up. So that's what I've concluded, not ever seeing any of their faces during deliberations, but judging from Judge Cannone and then really Brennan's stark decision not to call any rebuttal. I mean, even the defense, you could see, was shocked. I was shocked when he said that in trial.
I'm sure you've probably seen some of the interviews that have come out now. I know the McCabes and the Alberts have spoken, I believe, with ABC News. I got a chance to watch that the other day. I thought, you know, the initial part was interesting, where they just talked about, you know, here's what happened, here's how we feel about it. But I still get hung up on the part about them not coming down and going outside. I know they were tired. I know they'd been drinking. I just don't care. I don't find that to be a credible argument when this is going on in your front yard. Officer, not officer. I think an officer, you'd be even more ready to jump and react. But the argument that, you know, Brian Albert was making on ABC was, what was I supposed to do? Run out there in my underwear and police tape? No one's telling you to do that. But get your ass out of bed immediately and throw a robe on, throw something on. The fact that there was no presence of them coming out of the house, optically, it looks really weird. Now, I don't think they beat up John O'Keefe. I don't think they killed him. But it just, in a case where you can't have a bunch of things that look weird, that looks really weird to me, and it still really does. And I don't have an answer. The phone's being thrown away. Still, that looks really weird. Does it have anything to do with Karen Reed? I don't know. I honestly think it may have something to do with other cases. But there's just so many weird things that went on with these, with the officers and people in this circle that, yeah, I mean, I think all that really much plays into, and that creates the holes where you get the reasonable doubt in this case. What was your reaction to their interviews with ABC and the other ones that may have taken place?
Well, they are in an absolute no-win situation, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they do. At least half the people are going to think it's suspicious.
Sure.
Again, you know, you and I have talked a bit about the phones, you know, brilliantly decided to keep their phones for 9 months. And then 9 months after this, you know, master plan, they decided to throw them away.
Well, when they're going to have to turn them in, they get rid of them. That's the weird part about it.
Well, there was no order. I don't know if you remember, there was an order, and then it was quashed. It was way outside of the scope. It ended up being quashed. But I agree with you, but from the standpoint of it looked bad.
Optics,
but
yeah.
I've said this before, you know, law enforcement people, they get rid of their whole device.
Yeah.
They just do. They don't want somebody getting a hold of it, using it, whatever. I think most law enforcement people understand that most everything is in the cloud, mm-hmm. but there could be other things, you know, taken out of it, and they don't want that. And I've also said this, it's such an invasion of privacy. If you're literally a witness, if you will, I mean, you just were in the house, a house where, by the way, the victim never even entered.
Yeah.
You know, it's such everything that happened to them, you know, is just bad. I know you and I have talked about the time that I had a huge police commotion in front of my house just mm-hmm. a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't hear, I didn't see anything. They even had sirens going until I happened to look out. But I will say this, the minute I saw everybody, I couldn't get out there fast enough
yeah.
to see what was going on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, just, it's your on? Yard. There's something there. I don't like the constantly trying to reason this out of like, well, this is crazy for asking that question. It's not crazy for asking that question. And maybe one should just go, I fucked up. Like, I don't know. I didn't know the severity of what was going on or whatever. Just something. What was your reasoning for what you did? Well, the police were already in my house when I... Well, how long did it take you to get down the stairs? I don't know. Just, you didn't walk out there to look? I don't know. I mean, they'd be criticized anyway of what they did. I get that. But the actions that were not taken, I think, are what make people really raise an eyebrow. When you combine that with a conspiracy theory, it just feeds more fuel to the fire, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, the police were in our house, if I remember right, like at 6:32.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they were in his house. It wouldn't make any sense at all for him to go out and get involved at that point. Zero. You have a Cecil B. DeMille going out there with all these law enforcement officers, ambulances. They're just trying to sort things out. I tell you, when I'm law enforcement, you don't want anybody interfering.
Sure.
Like, you stay in your house. Don't come out.
Yeah.
We'll come to you. So that's the reality of it. He gets that. But because of it, and he couldn't imagine being accused of this.
Sure.
It never crossed his mind.
Yeah.
Car hit. Domestic violence, screaming, she hit him, whatever.
Yeah.
It just didn't
At that
occur.
Moment in time, I get it. I do see it from that perspective, but I also see it from the perspective of why it looks weird, because it does look weird. But if the, you know, the thought process is different from his prism, from what he does, and you understand that more from what you do, then I think the average person obviously would, you know, when you look at it from that prism, okay, I get it makes a bit more sense. Still a little weird.
People just don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't like that they couldn't exactly determine how John O'Keefe would have been hit.
And yeah.
I always say this. Okay, what about the plane crash that just occurred with 200 people that are dead and one
yeah.
person survived?
Yeah, I agree.
How does that happen? It just, physics is weird. It's not an exact science.
Yeah. And that's what I've been saying,
theory.
Too, because I agree. I mean, the big argument I've been hearing from everybody is, well, the body. What about the body? That's been the whole thing. No broken bones. Da, 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 da. I get it. And the odds were probably far more there for him to have broken bones. But physics is physics. And sometimes things work in mysterious ways. And things just happen to collect and contact in certain angles and certain velocities. And the equation is what it is. It's going to change every single time what your outcome is. The fact that Welcher showed other accidents that were just as bad, if not worse, that also produced no broken bones, I thought, okay, this does show it can happen. There are other documented cases of it happening. So to me, I was like, well, it's not out of the question. And it's not something where it doesn't happen at all. It's just, it is what it is. I get the odds could go the other direction, but they didn't in this case. And I don't think it wasn't a bridge too far to go, yeah, it's weird, but that's how he landed. That's how this happened. It's shown that it can happen. But I guess for others, it was a bridge too far to go and say that the odds of that are just not in the favor.
Well, and I wish that that's what we would be hearing from these jurors,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Your explanation that you just said, we didn't hear any of that. You know, we're not hearing any of that. So it's interesting. I'm so glad the chapter is closed. I literally don't know if social media could have handled a third trial. Might have just completely imploded.
Would have collapsed on itself.
A complete done. But it's done. It's over. And, you know, I know karma, and I've seen these types of cases before, and it'll all work out.
I wonder if she'll get busted for breaking into a hotel room and trying to steal Karen Reed memorabilia at gunpoint at some point.
A la OJ.
Oh, but,
I want the exactly. T-shirt back.
Like I said, it all ends up working out.
Anything's possible.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.